Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA. And our May 25th podcast, Casino Summer Road Trip, would it be Atlantic City or Las Vegas? There's just so much to think about, no matter which one you choose. And I think it depends on other things as well, like your age group. Are you in your 20s? Are you single? Are you married? Are you in your 30s? Are you married with children? Are you still single? And on it goes. Do you like the ocean? Do you like swimming pools? It just depends. Let's take a short break and come right back with our first caller in today's podcast.
Hey, this is Nick from Connersville, PA. I am going on an Atlantic City trip with my wife from June 18th to June 23rd, and we are staying where we used to stay when we went, which is Bally's. We usually stay in the Trump Taj Mahal, but as you know, the Trump Taj Mahal did close. It's going to reopen next year, though, as a Hard Rock, and we're very excited about that. But we'll be leaving on Sunday the 18th. We get up nice and early in the morning, get to Atlantic City, have a nice lunch, walk the boardwalk, have a nice dinner, hang out at the casino at night, and then during the week, we usually go to the beach during the day, casinos at night. Our favorite game to play is Keno, usually the Power Keno or the Triple Power Keno. Every so often, the Cleopatra. Sometimes we'll bet one, two, it all depends. Sometimes we've played for 6 hours on $20, and we've come home with $1,000 or more on various occasions. So I'm looking forward to heading out on the 18th. It's my favorite summer trip. Like I said, we'll be in Bally's, and we'll be all over the boardwalk having dinner at the Tropicana, having dinner one night at the resorts. So it's going to be a fun time, and I'll give you a recap when we do get back after the 23rd, which is also our anniversary. So we consider it an anniversary trip also. So thank you to Casinos USA for allowing me to talk about my trip coming up, and I will give you the recap when I get back.
Well, the first thing I can tell you about Nick's call is I don't care if it's Las Vegas or Atlantic City, if you can turn $20 in Keno slot play into $1,000 or more, that deserves some applause. Let me turn to my digital audience here today. You know, as this podcast gets more and more popular, we keep getting more and more digital people to come here. Oh, we appreciate that. Oh my, I want to be right back with some comments on Atlantic City in terms of people in the East. And you know, it is a big decision in all seriousness. You know, we love Las Vegas. But as Nick said in the call, he can get up early and be on the boardwalk for lunch. And the only way you can do that is from Pittsburgh to go to Las Vegas is to fly. And if you don't want to fly, you have a 2,200-mile drive, and that's not going to happen one day. It's going to take several days to get there. So that's the big concern. Do you go to Atlantic City and save the airfare and enjoy the ocean, as Nick says he does all week long during the day, or do you fly to Las Vegas? It's a big call. You know, he's staying, interestingly, at Bally's and going to the Tropicana. And as you all know, probably, there's certainly a Bally's on the Las Vegas Strip and a Tropicana, which, in fact, Janie and I stayed at, and some of the other members of the Casinos USA over the Easter break this April, we stayed two nights at Tropicana. So it's a big decision, and it's a hard call at times. Let's talk about the advantages to each one. Anyone considering whether it would be Las Vegas or Atlantic City, I think the first word that comes to mind is the ocean. How important is it? Do you want to swim in the ocean? Do you want to, you know, lay on the beach and soak up the sun that way? Because there really aren't outstanding, extraordinary swimming pools associated with the seven larger casinos right now in Atlantic City. A couple do have outdoor pools, but they're not much different than a pool you'd find at the Holiday Inn. Because, again, it's not about the swimming pool. It's about the ocean. Now, there's a couple interesting ones, particularly the Borgata, because they have a covered pool. So there's an advantage there. You know, you could go any time of the year and you'd be able to swim, which is the opposite in Las Vegas. You know, in the off season in Las Vegas, during the late fall and into the winter months, there's literally only the Rio that I know of that has their pools open. There's some off the strip as well, smaller places, but the Rio does have their outdoor pool open, one small pool. But other than that, so it's sort of a trade-off. If you have gone to Stone Harbor, New Jersey, you know about that. That's another beach destination. Or if you go to Myrtle Beach in South Carolina, I mean, there's just different things. Like, do you really like the beach? Because if you're a beach person and your spouse or your girlfriend, boyfriend's a beach person, or your buddies, or your people, then maybe Atlantic City makes sense that way. But if you're a swimming pool person and, you know, the ocean's nice to look at, but you don't want to get into it, I mean, that's a big point of discussion there. You know, I'm in Daytona Beach. I love to walk along the beach, but I wasn't really that excited about swimming in the ocean. I enjoyed the swimming pool at the hotel where we were when I had the job in Daytona, but, you know, the ocean has its own. I mean, first of all, there are things in the ocean that can kill you. That's, I guess, I'll put it right out there. I'm not talking about player club points or comps, because that changes everything. But just in general, hotel rooms are more expensive in Atlantic City in these larger casinos. And, you know, it's the same story. You look at a price, then you have to find out what their resort fee is, and that gets added on every day. But, you know, I've made the case that to stay at a decent hotel on the Las Vegas Strip Sunday through Thursday, you're talking somewhere after the resort fees added and taxes, somewhere around $100, maybe just south of $100, maybe just north of $100. Now, I'm not counting comps. In Atlantic City, I would say you're north of $150, and if you want an upscale room at a place like the Borgata, which is the most successful casino in Atlantic City, then you're probably just south or north of $200, and it goes up from there. So the rooms are more expensive. Now, for many people in the East, many thousands and thousands of people in the East, going to Atlantic City does, you know, by car does not involve airfare, of course. So that's where your savings comes in. So it might be a trade-off there a little bit. Also, this is big. If it's just, you know, a 2 or 3 day visit, or even just one overnight, you know, driving to Atlantic City from Western Pennsylvania, Eastern Ohio makes sense, because it's, you can get there in a day, you know. But driving to Las Vegas, that's a whole different gig. I mean, there's a northern route and a southern route, and it takes several days. I mean, from Pittsburgh, it's, you know, it's over 2,000 miles away. And Atlantic City from the greater Pittsburgh area is, you know, plus or minus around 350 miles. So compare 350 miles of driving to 2,200 miles, and that's a big difference. Also, you know, you're going to read about the high level of crime. You know, it's almost 14% unemployment in the New Jersey area around Atlantic City. Atlantic City is a city of about 40,000 people. And of course, the days of glory were in the past. I mean, Atlantic City, saltwater taffy came into existence in 1883. And you probably saw Boardwalk Empire on television, you know, about the Prohibition, 1930s era of Atlantic City. And of course, up until the 1960s, you know, it was pretty healthy. And it started to decline, of course, but when legalized gambling came back in the late 70s, for a while it seemed like very helpful, and there was a lot of building. But a lot of the casinos that were built are now closed, and also a lot of the plans about building casinos. There's a whole list of casinos that were never built that were planned to be built. So I don't think anybody anticipated that, you know, Pennsylvania would legalize gambling, and then there'd be tribal casinos in Connecticut that would really distract. And so also, when the cost of flying was reduced, because Atlantic City is really associated with trains, particularly in its golden era, But when the cost of flying was lowered to the point people could go to other places, to the ocean, even at the Bahamas, and it wasn't more expensive than the Atlantic City thing. So it's really like a matter of personal taste. I went to Atlantic City with my parents as a child. You know, that was before legalized gambling for the beach, and you know, that was a big deal. But then as I got older, I never really went back to Atlantic City after it was legalized. I've never gambled in Atlantic City. So I guess it's kind of a bucket list thing. You know, I probably should go and check out some of these casinos. And I'm not saying I won't do it. But for me, there's just so many other casinos. And I'm not talking necessarily about Las Vegas. And since I'm not an ocean person, I'm more into like casino road trips. I do want to visit the tribal casinos in Connecticut. I think I want to do that more than I want to visit the casinos in Atlantic City. But I know that song, Under the Boardwalk. So there's some of you that love Atlantic City, as our caller Nick does. I think he said it was his anniversary and he's going there. And we wish him well. Again, if you're a beach person and not necessarily a swimming pool person, then I can see the appeal of putting the beach, you know, in relation to your evenings at casinos. I can understand that. If you're not a beach person and you're more a swimming pool person, go online and investigate. The swimming pools are subpar in Atlantic City because it's all about the beach. I do want to make another suggestion, though, and this would involve people in Western Pennsylvania, in Ohio, in Michigan, in West Virginia, Western New York. Using that 350-mile figure, 385, 390, 390 miles, you could do that in a day. You can drive to the state of Indiana, and northern Indiana, Michigan City, Indiana, is the home of a boy casino called Blue Chip. And it's a very impressive hotel with three nightclubs inside of it and a beautiful boat, which is a giant barge. You can't tell that when you're on the inside, but it's huge. But across the street is a state park, and there's a beach for Lake Michigan. And there's nothing that I know of in Lake Michigan that can come out of the water and kill you. So there's a freshwater beach there. That's something you can do. Also, Four Winds Casino might be an appeal. It's a tribal casino. It's 5 miles from the Blue Chip. And it's not along the beach or as close to the beach as the Blue Chip. But if you have a car, you know, the beach is a mile and a half away from Four Winds. And Four Winds is a beautiful, beautiful tribal casino in New Buffalo, Michigan. So that's another option. And I would encourage many of you to try Rocky Gap Casino Resort in Maryland, because it's on a beautiful man-made lake. It's a state park. It's very clean. And they brought in white sand. So if you have, you know, little ones and you're thinking about security and safety, it's just a beautiful beach. And that's another experience. But those of you that are true blue beach people and you want to get to the ocean, Atlantic City, here we come. And that's your decision, of course. But again, casinos are casinos in many ways. So if it's not about gambling, I think what's outside the casino is important. And for many people, that beach is the appeal. And we understand that here at Casinos USA. And we're not going to say not to go to Atlantic City. But I'm not necessarily going to say it has to be Las Vegas. There's a lot of other options available. And finally, when thinking about, oh, I want to swim in the beach, from Pittsburgh, the greater Pittsburgh area, Columbus, Ohio, even, you can always go to Erie. You know, there's a casino in Erie near Presque Isle. You could stay at a nice place there, and you have a choice of the beach during the day and, you know, those kind of water activities. And that's Lake Erie, of course. Nothing there that could come out of the water and kill you. And you also have a casino for the evening. So there's a lot of choices there. We're going to move into the next part of our podcast today and talk about an iconic book. And I think it has a very important message for all of us who gamble. It's called Take the Money and Run. Yeah, that's it. Take the money and run. And we'll be right back after this break. campfire music, you know, a little bit sometimes reminds me of Deliverance a little bit. It makes me nervous, but nonetheless, good sound. And let's talk about this book. Henry J. Tamboran's book, Craps, Take the Money and Run. Its cover has two dice, a four and a five. Figures, a man and a woman carrying bags of money, and they're running. Take the money and run. Okay, so let's talk about some of the things that are so important in this book from 1995. At least they were important to me. Well, one of the concepts of Take the Money and Run is when you go to the craps table, you know, let's say you go with $200. If you win $100, quit. If you win half of your money that you go into a game for, quit. All right, you don't want to quit. But that's the whole point. If you're up, make a decision. Should I take the money and run now, or should I keep playing and give it back? That's not always means that you're going to give it back. But of course, anytime you roll dice, there's a risk. You know, so if you're fortunate to get the jump on the casino, how much money should you win before you quit? Well, Take the Money and Run suggests that, you know, half of the money that you use to buy into the game, if that's profit, take it and go. All right. We're going to talk first about a head system for the 6 and 8. Not too complicated, interesting. Okay, this system is designed to hedge your place bets on the 6 and 8. And it's hedged because you make a don't pass bet to start the game, and we're going to use a $10 table. So you make your first bet, of course, on the come out roll on the don't pass. And we're going to make the assumption that you're playing at a $10 table. So you put $10 on the don't pass. All right, so there's no hedge now. So if a 7 or 11 is rolled, then you're going to lose. If a 2 or 3 is rolled, you'll win. And 12 on the don't pass is a push, so nothing happens. You don't lose, you don't win. So if the point number is rolled and it's not a 6 or 8, then make a place bet on the 6 and on the 8. Oh, all right. So I have $10 in the don't pass, and I have $12 on the table on place bets, a $6 6 and a $6 8. And you can see then if an early 7 comes up, you'll lose $12, but you'll win 10. So you're hedged. All right. Well, let's be positive. If the 6 or 8 is rolled on the first three rolls, Henry suggests, you're going to take the money, okay? And then after the third roll, you're going to take the 6 and 8 down. You just say to the dealer, I'm coming down on a 6 and 8, and he or she will return the chips to you, then you pick them up. So generally from this point, your place bet is down, the 6 is down, the 8 is down, and you're just waiting with the money on the don't pass to have the player 7 out, not make her a point, because then you would lose the don't pass. So you have another decision to make. If you get a hit on the 6 or 8 in the first three rolls, and then you bring them down, you can also pick up the don't pass. That's your choice. You were hedged while the 6 and 8 were operating for you, so you'd only lose $2 if a 7 was rolled, because you had the tone pass for 10. But now you can say, hey, I won $7, so I'm just going to take, or I might have hit the 6 or 8 twice in those three rolls. I got $14. I'm going to take the tone pass down. I can lift the tone pass line. This is a special system here. And that's what you do. And now that could keep you at the table. And if the table got hot, then you can play craps the normal way. You know, instead of losing a ton of money initially, you could use this system to keep you at the table. You're not going to win a whole lot of money, but you're not going to lose a whole lot of money either. And that's the point. Okay, think about this one. Is there a system in craps that's even safer than hedging the 6 and 8 by placing $10 on the down pass? So is there a craps system in which you can't lose your bet once the point is established? Well, Henry tells us, yes, there is. And here's what he says. The only bets you make are on the don't pass, don't come, and place bets. One more time. The only bet you're going to make in this break-even or win system is on the don't pass, the don't come, and place bets. All right, so you make your first bet on the don't pass. And again, you have to sweat a 7 or 11. You'll lose. A 2-3, you'll win, and it'll be a push on the 12. So let's say the point, the established point, is a 5. So once that is established and the puck is moved to the 5, and remember you have $10 on the dome pass, you make a $10 place bet on the 5. Now think about this. If you roll the number 5, or if the number 5 is rolled, you'll win $14, but you'll lose the dome pass. So you won $4. Wow, this is a $10 table. They didn't want you playing that way, but they can't stop you. This is a break-even or hedge. Now, a little bit different. If the established point number turns out to be a 6 or an 8, and it's a $10 minimum table, then you're going to have to make a $12 place on the 6 or the 8, whichever one is the established point. So if a 7 is rolled, you would still lose $2. But it would work for the 4, for the 5, for the 9, and for the 10. And this is slow. And the point here is that you can stay at the table a long, long time playing this way. And then what I'm telling you, if a shooter starts to make points, then you jump to ordinary craps, you know, with odds behind the pass line, come off the don'ts, go to the pass line, you know, and ride that streak. But this will keep you at a table. This will also keep you at an expensive table. I want to talk about that. All right. So the table goes up wherever you are, the casino. All of a sudden, that $10 table became a $25 table. Gentlemen, ladies, in 5 minutes or after the next shooter, we're going to go to $25 minimums. People were screaming and yelling. But you can stay on the dome pass for $25. And again, you have that risk on the come out. A 7-11 takes your money. A 2-3, you win. 12, you push. But let's say the point here, you have $25 on the dome pass. And let's go back. The point here is a 5. So then you place a $25 5. So if a 5 is rolled, you'll win $35. If a 7 out occurs, you'll lose 25 and win 25. This is another way to stay at the table for a long, long time, you know, and if you're drinking for free, there are some advantages to that too. So the first system that we reviewed with Henry's take the money and run was hedging the 6 and 8 with a $10 dome pass line bet. And he's suggesting you place the 6 and 8 and keep it up for 3 rolls. Right, take the money and run. You can take your don't pass bed down after that, or up. That's, or leave it up. That's up to you. Okay, the second one is pretty much break even or win system, where what you're doing, you're on a don't pass, but you're going to place the point number. Okay, so once the point number is established, you know, you can't necessarily lose a whole lot of money because you're covered on the don't pass, and if the number's rolled, you're going to win money. Because, you know, you're getting odds money on that. So, you know, if you bet, for example, if you bet $25 on the 9 and a 9 comes up, you win $35. All right, so you lost the dome pass, so you still have $10. That's another way. These two systems, I thought, when I first read these back in 1995, were just a way to stay at a table until it started to go the way you wanted to. You know, I'm not going to spend 8 or 9 hours in a casino and play this way for 8 or 9 hours. But you know what? I'm not going to lose $600 in 30 minutes playing this way. And that's the point. Because it's at some point in the stay at the casino on the table, it's going to go your way a little bit. It's going to start to roll the way you like to bet. And then that's when you can jump and use your own system and your own style. Again, hedge the 6 or 8 from the dome pass, or place the point from the dome pass. These are two systems that keep you at the table, minimize the amount of money you could lose, and they also minimize the amount of money you can win, but it keeps you at the table. I hope you think about these two and just give it a try some night when everything seems to be going the wrong way. Our next chapter is short. We want to talk a little bit about some gambling facts that are in the news, and we'll be right back. After I catch my breath, let's take a short break. Gambling facts coming up. term racino never really caught on in Pennsylvania, but we do have casinos that feature racetracks, either harness racing, or those are the buggies, of course, if you don't have those in your state, or thoroughbred, you know, flat track racing, regular horse racing. And if you've ever gone to a horse race or watched them on television, you might have wondered, like, what happens to these horses? You know, is it just animal cruelty? Like, what happens to them? You know, because their time on the track is not that long. So what happens to them? Well, I'm reading over a letter from Sandy Martin, and she's the board president of the Pennsylvania Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association. This is good stuff. Pennsylvania Horse Race Development Fund has helped to create 23,000 jobs and a $1.6 billion in annual economic activity in Pennsylvania. 89% of all money from this fund is being spent right here at local businesses, and that's for goods and services. And Pennsylvanians have received $2.3 billion in property tax relief since the law was passed in 2004. And horse racing is helping drive this. The average daily gross terminal revenue generated from slot machine gaming by the six casinos in Pennsylvania that host horse racing was 16% higher on race days in 2015. So on race days, these casinos with horse race tracks, they take in 16% more money. There's just more people at the casino, more people are gambling. So under this law, to go back to her letter, the industry also prepares life for our horses after their racing days are over. And this is with the understanding that most racehorses retire around age 7. So there's a fact for you. Racehorses retire around age 7. The Pennsylvania Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association has created the nonprofit New Start program. And our program partners with Foster Farms to place retired racehorses in safe, loving homes. And Sandy and the rest of the people a part of this movement should be so proud. The program has found homes for more than 400 horses since it began in 2013. And so far this year in 2017, 35 retired racehorses have found loving homes. And there's nothing more rewarding for this New Start program than to find new homes for special horses. And if anybody's listening in Pennsylvania that would like a retired racehorse, visit, this is all one word, New Start for Horses, written as one word, newstartforhorses.com. Sandy Martin, thank you so much for your good work. So we can go to the racetrack, watch horses, gamble, play craps, play roulette, play baccarat, play slot machines, knowing that more people are spending money that day and is coming back in tax relief. It's creating thousands and thousands of jobs. But her organization is helping those horses, when they're retired at the age of 7, find loving homes. That's so important to all of us. And once again, from Casinos USA, thank you, Sandy Martin. In our final section today, I want to give you some pushback from reactions that I received through email and through Messenger on our last podcast, Great Expectations. So we'll be right back, and I'll give you some pushback. Hey, working on your lead guitar skills with that little back alley sound. All right, how about a little pushback? You know, paraphrasing myself, I said in Great Expectations that experts agree negative expectation table games in casinos cannot be beaten. I'll repeat. Negative expectation games in casinos, such as craps and roulette, baccarat, etc., cannot be beat. So why play? Is that not a fool's move? That was a question I asked to generate some interest in the podcast. And I got called all sorts of names. You know, I know that you can beat them, but in the long run, you won't. That's the point. And that's why I like to talk about this phrase, take your money and run. Have a loss limit and have a win limit. You know, there's no one right way to play craps. But if you play one way all the time, I don't care if experts think it's a good way or the best way to play craps, eventually you'll lose. You cannot beat a negative expectation game just thinking, well, I'll just go to the casino over and over again, you know, every Friday night, every Saturday night, whatever, every Sunday afternoon, and I'll win. It doesn't work that way. You have to be smart and knowledgeable and understand that the odds are against you. And this is not looking down at anyone. This is not ridiculing anyone. This is not calling anyone a fool. It's just giving you a heads up. I said I had great expectations because when I go to a casino, it's not about the money. It's about having a good time. I understand that the odds are against me. And I get even more enjoyment when I get a little jump on the casino and I can pull out of the game ahead. So that's the point. It's just to alert you to the fact that, hey, you're surrounded with games that are designed to beat you. So be responsible. Use common judgment. You know, this is recreational gambling. There aren't people who beat casinos the way the games are. There's poker rooms where people win, and there's helter-skelter mega wins on slot machines. And you can be a winner in craps and roulette and baccarat, etc. But understand that after a certain amount of time and a certain amount of play, you'll just give it back. That's the point. That's what we're talking about. And we wanted to be honest about that. And we said that from the get-go with Casinos USA, we weren't going to romanticize gambling. You know, gambling has its flaws. Gambling has its distortions. But gambling can be a source of entertainment and fun if you go into it with your eyes open. And that's where I want to leave you today. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. I want to thank you for your support. And there's a couple of things I have to mention. As with most podcasts, gaming podcasts, we have an Amazon link. If you'd like to kick us a little refund from Amazon, just click on our link. What you buy won't cost you a cent more. It's just that we'll get a very small kickback from Amazon, which helps us pay the cost of production. Also, if you wanted to just make a contribution to Casinos USA, you can do that too through PayPal or through credit cards. Our website is www.casinosusa, written as one word, casinosusa.bet, B-E-T. You can do that. Our web pages are wonderful, and take a look at them. There's something for everybody. Also, you can join us. Our Facebook, where we post, is two words, Casinos USA. It's a public group, but you have to be approved before you have to be accepted, so you can make that request. And basically, all we want to see is that you can speak to us in English. We can't put up foreign languages and not knowing what people say. They could be saying incredibly stupid things or dangerous things. So that's the only requirement, that you can respond to us in English. Just make that request in English that you want to join. And for our listeners, if you want to respond to anything that you hear on these podcasts or read on the website or see us post on Facebook, just call our answering service. That's 1-724-519-4556. 1-724-519-4556. Give us a trip report, ask a gambling or travel question, tell us about your casino capers, wherever they are, and we'll play your call on our national podcast. Like we played Nick from Connellsville today, and he said he'll call us back when he gets back in June from Atlantic City. Looking forward to his call. And use your first name and city or state only. You don't have to identify yourself completely. No way. And you can find our podcast on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Spreaker Radio, Stitcher Radio, MyTuner Radio, Google Play, iTunes Store, and our website. We also have a podcast page where we archive all our podcasts. And our podcasts have been enjoyed in 2017 by over 30,000 listeners. And we're proud of that, and we want to thank you all. So we'll see you again in 2 weeks. Remember, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that's the Casinos USA way.